And welcome, welcome, welcome. G'day, how the bloody hell are ya? Welcome to episode number 146 of the Average Man podcast. Still doing the damn thing. Still doing the damn thing. How the hell are you guys, man? I've had a great old holiday. Back now, back into this. Well, no, I'm not back into the swing of things at all. I haven't been to work yet. I've been at home, getting the shit sorted around the house. Kids went to school today. Got a weekend, and then I'm back at work next week. So we are back home. We had a big day getting back because of the Perth, Bali, the Hedland to Perth, Perth to Bali, Bali to Perth, Perth to Hedland scenario that we've got to deal with nowadays. But it was all right, man. You know, you're not doing anything. It's just like we had to get up at 3 a.m. on the morning of you know, getting picked up, and got picked up from the hotel at like 4 a.m. and then, you know, flight home. And we were supposed to have an afternoon flight, turned into an evening flight, because we got delayed, so we were sitting around for a while waiting on that. But, you know, we got home in the end, mate. It's all bloody good. It's all bloody good. So and you know when you get to the airport after a holiday, I don't know about you, but by the time I get there, I'm overspending money, man. I'm sick of it. I don't want to spend any more money. The food at the airport's crap. You're kind of hostage there. We've got all our bags already checked in and shit, so you're just kind of hostage at the airport for like 5 hours or something, eating crappy food, spending more money. But, you know, these are part of the holidays, mate. We survived. We got back home, and it was a bloody great holiday. It really was, eh? It's just, we were there for 12 nights, which is like 11 days, and just fully relaxed, man. We got to fully relax like I haven't for ages. You know, the work phone, you know, well, I did check emails, but really wasn't on the work email, and, you know, phone wasn't on the trail, wasn't really replying to things. I didn't have to think about work too much at all, which was good, man. So just really relaxed, you know, bloody relaxed. We did heaps of chilling. I got to do some, got some surfing in. It took me a few days to organise the surfboard, like a while longer than I thought, because I'd been teeing that up back home in Hedland, like through this Facebook page, surfboard, BaliSurfboard.com or something like that. And it was just really hard for me to get to him at the right time to meet him, or to get him to drop the board to me. So I just kind of like, it dragged out for a few days, and I'm like, oh, I want to get out there and surf. And then we had Nyepi Day in the middle, so like the day before, the traffic was a no-go. The day of Nyepi, you can't leave the hotel. And then like the guy I got as a driver for a day, who I thought would take us, like, that'd be sweet, he'll take us, and we'll drop this board, go past and pick this board up. He wouldn't do it because his car was too small. It definitely would have fit in the car, but he just wasn't keen on doing it. So it took me like a week to get my board. And then, you know, I had a few days to surf after that, which was fine. I got a board bag made for it over there as well. Brand new board bag for $60 made. You know, I'm sure it's not surf shop quality from Australia, but it was pretty good. Pretty good quality, man. Does the trick. Board fits in there. The zip works well. It's nice. Good travel bag. For $60, you can't complain. It's an old secondhand, you know, sort of dunga that I bought over there. I'm not going to say dunga, but it's not a flash board like the one I bought at Christmas down in Denmark. But it does the job, man. It's 8 foot. You know, I'm not sure what the leaderage is on it, but it's really stable. Paddle, you go real quick on the board. I was able to duck dive some decent waves on it, which I was happy about, because it was obviously a bit of board to get up, to push underneath the wave, but that was fine. There was a couple of times I was in like a bad spot, and I did the old roll, just like rolled over and sort of bear hugged the board, and the whitewash washed out right over the top of me. Like if you're not deep enough where the wave's actually breaking right on you, and you can kind of dip, duck dive under the lip and pop out through the back of the wave, if you're right in once it's just like it's broken, like a couple of seconds beforehand, and you're in the full foam ball, trying to duck dive the foam ball, it's like, it's long, it's like meters long, so you get like washing machine effect underneath there. So that happened to me a couple of times. I just did the old flip and bear hug, and that worked pretty well as well. So and catching waves was, you know, there wasn't, the way where I surfed was just out on Legian Beach there. There wasn't like great they weren't great waves. They were mostly closeouts as the whole thing breaks at once. But there were some decent little waves that you could pick out and get a decent line on. And I actually caught, I'm going to say the best, not the best wave of my life, but it was the best ride of my life. And it was because of this long board, you know, like, because there weren't big waves, but I caught this decent wave. And because the way it was sort of closing out, but the board was big enough to go to hook it straight once the wave broke, and then hook it left again around the foam and back up onto the wave. And I did that like four times and caught this wave all the way in pretty much to the beach. And it was just fun, man. It was just good. I was like, got a bit of practice moving around on the board, getting a feel for it, turning, going straight again. And it was like, yeah, man, that was good. Good fun. You know, a couple of waves like that each day, and I was pretty happy. So the surfing worked out in the end, even though it was a bit of a struggle to get it off the ground. But we just did heaps of chilling, man. And in the evenings, went out for dinner, me and the missus. Took the kids with us a few times as well. But by the evening, they're pretty burnt out, man. Swimming in the pool and doing a bit of walking around town, adventuring, and in the sun, the heat. And they're kind of bushed. So we get a nanny. It's sort of about half of the nights we're there, I guess. We got a nanny. Usually we do it a bit more, but again, because a nyepi day in the middle there kind of fucked things up a bit. Couldn't really go out the night before nyepi because things closed early the day before, and obviously can't leave the hotel on nyepi day. So there's a solid 2 days in the middle there, and then we took the kids out with us another 3 nights or something like that. But, you know, that's good, man. You get the nanny to the room at like 5 in the arvo, 6 in the evening, whatever suits you. And you kind of finish getting ready. And this lady was cool, man. Ashley, her name was. She was an older lady. And she'd rock up with a little bag full of, like, she had like those blow up, those balloons you make animal balloon animals out of one day or a couple of days. She brought barley balloons around for the kids. She brought little poppers for shade, like those little packets of whatever they are, gunpowder that you throw on the floor and they spark up. She brought some little games for the kids, just played with them, sat on the floor and played for a little bit. And then they just really wanted to have some iPad quiet time after dinner and go to sleep. So easy gig for her. Good gig for us. Kids were happy because they just wanted to chill and go to bed. And we come home at like 10 in the evening and kids are asleep and safe and sound, and pay Ashley and give them a kiss on their little heads, and off she goes, and off we go to bed, or to maybe have a little bit of extra mummy and daddy time. So it was great. And it worked out really well. Apart from one night where we came home and paid Ashley, all good, kids were sound asleep, all good. Ashley said, yeah, they were fine, no problems. And then directly after she left, we got Shade up, because it was like 10:30 or something at night, got Shade up to go to do a pee, because this is what we do before we go to bed at night. If we get him up at like 10, 10:30, 11 in the evening, take him to the dunny, then we can guarantee he won't piss the bed, which he's got heaps better at, but it is a thing that sometimes still happens. He doesn't know, he needs to go, and he just pisses in his bed. So we got him up, took him to the dunny. He like didn't even go to the dunny. He beelined and just started pissing in the bath, which was quite funny. But you know, anyway, you do that sometimes when you're super tired. Pissed in the bath. All good, bud. All right, mate, I'll wash this out. And then he turns around and goes, and instead of going back to his bed, walks straight to our bed and sat on our bed. And I was like, right, start turning the bath on, washing his piss down. And I just hear this. I'm like, what the fuck was that? Turn around, and we got a little exorcist sitting there on the fucking bed, man. Like, his head's just like kind of swiveling back and forth, and he's just like mouth open, just power vomiting. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? And run over to him, and like, there's nothing I could do because he's mid power vomit, and he's like got one arm leaning on the bed. There's like a puddle of vomit around his hand and sort of going up his arm. It's about 20 mil thick. It's a decent puddle, and then it's kind of a trajectory spray where his little head had gone back and forwards a couple of times, and then he's like leaning forward, getting the last of it out, like, bleh, bleh. And each time he does that, bleh, like, you know, 200 mil of liquid comes out, bleh, and then like it's hitting the tiles, splashing off the floor, hitting my suitcase and my freshly washed clothes and shit, right, and my shoes right next to him on my side of the bed, bleh. And he's like, I don't feel good. It's like, oh no, man. And then like, kind of finally finished. He's leaning there in this puddle of vomit. Shit splashed all over my shins because I was standing near him trying to comfort him. It's all my shoes and my fucking my suitcase. And I, like I said, I just had our clothes washed. They were sitting on top of my suitcase. There's all vomit splash on them. So it's like, oh, man. And then we're like, how do we clean this up, man? We don't have any cleaning devices. We don't have rags and fucking cloth and paper towel and plastic bags. We don't have that shit in this hotel room. It's just... So I got like one of the hand towels from the bathroom and like pushed the vomit that had splashed all over the tiles into like a little, like dammed it up, pushed it into a little puddle near the main puddle. And then, like, grabbed a scoop of it, took it to the bath and dumped it in the bath and tried to wash it down. And it just wasn't happening. The bath just wasn't draining well and there was chunks just getting stuck in the bathtub and shit. I thought, this ain't it. This ain't the solution for the rest of this vomit. So I bailed out on that idea and then basically got Shady up once he was finished out of it and stripped his clothes off near the crime scene and walked him over the shower. Em's chucked him in the shower and started washing him off and then we rinsed his clothes off and stuff in the bath. Same thing, just chunks just sticking to the side of the bath and not going down the drain. And then she dealt with Shady and took him over to his bed and he jumped in and fell straight asleep. Like he got all, whatever demons were in him, he'd cast them out and he was right as rain after that, you know, and hopped in his warm, cozy, clean bed and just fell fucking fast asleep and left us to deal with the carnage. And I'm like, oh man. So I pushed the rest of the vomit into a pile on the floor and then just wrapped up the outer doona that had the bulk of the vomit in it, wrapped it into like a parcel, like if you could imagine like a big like puff pastry sheet with like, you know, like some vol-au-vent filling in there, like a bit of fucking some sauce with some chips and a bit of onion and some little chunks of meat and a bit of a gravy and some other random like herbs and spices in it. Just like a big version of that. I just kind of wrapped it into a big vomit parcel and then just like wrapped some of the other affected areas sort of loosely around it and then took that and carried it in a big vomit pastry out to the front door and sat it out the front door and then wrapped the vomit off the floor into this towel and hand towel and took that over and sat it sort of propped up next to it on the floor. And then we called we called housekeeping and told them we'd had a bit of an issue and we're going to need some housekeeping assistance at room 9037. If they could please send their two top guys over to give us a hand. And then all we had to finish the cleanup was a packet of wet wipes. So I'm there on my hands and knees with wet wipes mopping the floor. It was like a 2 square meter area of affected area, whopping it with my hands and knees all over my suitcase, take on my nice clean fold up clothes, go throw them over near the dirty clothes pile for the next load of washing we got done, wiping my shoes off, just feeling completely soiled. And then the little Balinese dudes rolled up to collect our vomit linen from the front door and just look of shame on my eyes. I opened the door and like, hey guys, how are you? I'm really sorry. I was like, my son threw up all over the bed and the floor and so we didn't have anything to clean it up with. I said, so inside this parcel here is like a puddle of vomit. And they're just like, oh, okay. And I'm smiling and, okay, no worries, sir. I'm like, oh, man. So they took the vomit parcels with them and then they came back later and changed all the bed sheets and gave the floor a bit of a wipe over. And we kind of just had to sit there in the room with the kids, like, you know, in shameful silence while they cleaned all our shit up. And then off they went to go fucking deal with the horrible puddle of vomit wrapped inside a fucking doona. And we obviously had a shower and shit, rinsed off and jumped into bed to go to sleep and try and forget about it. Because this whole thing took like an hour. It's like 11 o'clock at night or something. As soon as I jump into bed, I'm like, oh, I can still smell this sour vomit. It's in the air. I don't know if it's still on me. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but it's the area is not completely decontaminated, you know. And I'm lying there thinking, I just gotta fucking have have to get used to the smell, and then I feel like dampness coming through the sheets, like where my ass and my hip is. I'm like, oh no, what the fuck is that? Sit up and turn the light on, there's a big wet patch coming through the new sheets. So obviously the initial vomit puddle had soaked right through to the mattress, and then the new linen had been put on top, and I thought I gave that a bit of a good wipe off. Obviously it had left more of a stain or more of a moisture puddle than I had anticipated, and that was soaking through the new sheets, and I'm lying in his second hand soaked through vomit in the new linen. I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And it's starting to come through like a, kind of like when you graze yourself, you fall over and you graze your leg and you hold like a large sort of white bandage over the affected area, and it comes through in these like wet like spots randomly through, and it starts to form a pattern and build up into a moisture area. That was kind of what was happening with the sheet, but with my son's vomit on my near naked body. So yeah, at that time of the evening and after what we'd been through, there wasn't much more to do except to get up and grab, oh, we got new towels when the housekeeping came. So I went and grabbed a brand new, fresh, thick hotel quality towel and just lay that sucker out over the affected area and lay on top of that. And I just said to Ems, well, this is just my lot for this evening. I just got to come to terms with the fact that I'm sleeping in my son's spew tonight. That's just how it is. So, you know, I fell asleep rather quickly and woke up in the morning and fucking went out for do some exercise or run or whatever I went for that day and put it all behind me. By the time we came back the next time from being out and about during the travels on holiday, the room had been re-cleaned again and the sheets had been changed and I never had a vomit issue again. So, you know, that happened. It happened. You know, it's behind us now, and the boy woke up feeling fine. He did milk it. He'd had a big day. I think we'd had a big day the day before. I think it's when we went to Splash Water Park. And he woke up the next day and just, he loves to just chill, this dude, right? You got to really coax him out to get him out and amongst the elements and active. And he's like, oh, I don't feel great, Dad. Can we just chill at the hotel all day today? He milked that for as much as he could. I got him out for a couple of hours, but he just wanted to fucking chill, man. It's like, fair enough. You did vomit up, you know, 3 litres of fucking undigested chips and pizza and shit. But, you know, you were fine. You're fine. You're fine. But you'll milk it. And then, you know, that's fair enough. Some situations warrant a good milking. So that was that mate. And we did a few other things while we were there, apart from the splash, which I just mentioned. And obviously we had an yippy day. We went to the zoo while we were there. And it's like, you know, the zoo's kind of fucking shit, really. It's a thing for the kids. I would never go to a zoo as an adult. They're kind of horrible places, especially in Bali when it's fucking hot and the floor's dusty there and fucking, it's just depressing. They've got these animals locked up in cages, elephants depressed and looks gross, the fucking tiger just looks like skinny, the lion just wanted to murder everyone. They fed the tiger, fed the lion, fed the elephant, did all that shit, and yeah, but I don't condone that sort of stuff. Zoos, you know, I did go and pay money and support it, but it's one of those things, like, zoos are shit, they're not a great place for animals, but at the same time, you gotta see a lion in your life, don't you? You gotta see an elephant, you gotta see these fucking things in real life to experience and get an appreciation for them, so you gotta take the kids. You got to take the kids to the zoo, man. But definitely not a great experience as an adult. Not something I enjoyed. But we did that. The kids had a bit of a blast. So, you know, it's one of those things you fucking do. The lion was pretty scary. My daughter was supposed to feed the lion. Shade fed the tiger. She was supposed to feed the lion. And as she went to hold her little stick with meat on it through the cage, it goes like this big guttural. Like, he just, I can't do it. Yeah, it doesn't, nothing does it justice. The guttural growl this thing did, it was so deep and reverberated through you as it looked at you with his ice cold, fucking murderous eyes. And she just burst into tears. And ran out to give her a big cuddle and fucking, she didn't want to bar it after that. Shay went and fed the lion. But It's like, I understand exactly how you feel, honey. A monster just looked you in the eyes and fucking did a horrible guttural sound, letting you know it wanted to murder you and eat you alive. That's scary. That's worthy of crying. So she was terrified of that. And again, that's what I mean. Like, you got to see a fucking lion. They don't look like that on TV. You see on the TV, wow, it's cool. It's, yeah, I like the way they hunt. They do. You fucking see this thing from 2 foot away behind these bars. Its head is massive. Its paws are like the size of my fucking face, man. And that growl that it did, you're just like, if you ever were confused about where you stand on the food chain in comparison to a lion, it erases that completely. It's a fucking powerful, terrifying fucking beast. And awesome to see up live, up close like that. But, you know, can't hate it, his life. Fucking depressed, poor fucking thing. The guy bangs the cage to get it to jump up and eat the food and rah, like snarling at him and hitting the cage and just hating life, hating people. It's like, damn, this is fucking dark shit. But, you know, the kids know what a lion is now. They get it. They get it. So there we go. Went, did the zoo. Managed to stay pretty fit over there too, which was good. Like, normally I bloat up like a balloon and come back with like 5 kilos of water weight on me. And it's like, oh, you're gonna fucking spend 2 weeks working that shit off. But I did fucking pretty good, man. Like, I ate pretty much every morning. I ate steak and eggs for breakfast. Sometimes I had an omelette. Sometimes I just had bacon and eggs. I had a couple of croissants. I ate croissants like 3 mornings I was there because I had, I don't, you know, a buttery warm croissant. I was like, I'm going to fucking have some of them in Bali. Had some of them and I felt like shit, just like I remembered last time I had croissants like years ago. I was like, oh, fucking stomach, like shit, fucking hell. So I stopped eating the croissants because, you know, I experienced them. I had 3 or 4 croissants and I didn't need to do that every single day because it did make me feel like shit. So I'd have steak and eggs for breakfast, fruit and some yogurt, and I was full. Then for lunch, I'd pretty much every day, I had a couple of days I had a nasi goreng, but most days I just had steak and chips. So the chips aren't great for you, but you live. And then for dinner, we'd have whatever. I'd go out and I'd try and usually have some sort of protein-based meal, but really didn't watch the diet at dinner. But, you know, I didn't eat a lot of bread, didn't eat, you know, a lot of pasta and shit like that, and I managed to stay lean and stay pretty healthy and fit. I went for a 10K run one day, first run I've been for in months because of the weather in Headland, so my shins and calves were burning for days afterwards. Went for another 5K, but predominantly I found the gym at the hotel and just went to the gym at like 6 in the morning. Yeah, which was cool. Went to the gym and it was a small gym, didn't have a lot of weights, but enough shit there to get a good workout in. So went to the gym and did that most mornings. Probably I slept in a few mornings and did nothing. 3 or 4 days while we were there, I did nothing in the morning. And to be honest with you, I didn't enjoy it, which is why my wife thinks I'm mad for getting up and working out while I'm on holidays. But it's not actually hard for me. It gives me something to go to bed for at night, because I know I've got to get up at 6 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. Give me something to do before everyone else wakes up, because I am an early riser. And then afterwards, I'm ready to go. The blood's pumping. The body feels good. Got a workout in. Ready to eat. Give me some fucking food. I just did some work. And the days I didn't do it, I was just like a bit sluggish and just lying in bed, watch my phone. Just like, this is fucking shit. This is what people do every morning. Is this the normal fucking life? Have a fucking coffee and lie around looking at your phone? Fuck that. I'll get up earlier and go to the gym, come home with extra energy and piss everyone off when I walk through the door. Hey, how you going? I'm like this, clapping, righto. Get up, let's go to breakfast. Mrs. is like, piss off, you dickhead. Kids are like, nee, nee, nee. Dad, I'm like, come on, dad's got energy. Let's go to breakfast. It's part of your duty as a dad to be an annoying prick every now and then, especially to your kids. They piss you off all the time. Kids piss you off so much. You've got to get the little pricks back every now and then. So that was me, mate. Yes, we all stayed pretty healthy besides Shade spewing like something out of the fucking Exorcist all over the bed in the middle of the night. He was fine the next day, man. We found a couple of speakeasies over there. Ems was onto that one on Facebook. She looked it all up and said there was a few around the place and got some special fucking information from someone on the speakeasy Bali circuit. And we found a few. And they're pretty cool, man. There was one above one of the restaurants we went to. Actually, the first restaurant we went to of the holiday, Bowen Bun in Seminyak, which is a Vietnamese-based restaurant with a nice little speakeasy upstairs. We went up there and you walk through this secret staircase and through this door and there's this fucking cool little bar there. And the dude there, Ade, who made the cocktails, was the bar manager. They were the best cocktails you've ever had in your fucking life, hands down. They were all like inspired by a normal cocktail. They're like a fusion cocktail. So like a pina colada had like white rum in it, and then it had some coconut water in it, and then it had this coconut infused fucking creamy sorbet top thing on it. And like, what else do we have? I can't really remember what we had, but like, they weren't sugary. None of them were overly sugary at all. They were like very, very well balanced, well made. Everything looked great. They were fusions. You'd like fucking toast the top of your fucking toast up a cherry for you and put it on top of your whatever the fuck drink I had was. But the flavors were well thought out. He made them. The presentation was brilliant. He had a good knack to give you sweet, sour, and sharp in the same one, or creamy and sharp or whatever. Like there was different flavors meeting each other in interesting ways, and it was fucking really good, man. You know they were expensive. They were like $18 cocktails, which is expensive in Bali. So if you had the cash, you could drink those fucking things all night. Whereas I get sick of cocktails pretty quick because they're usually just like fucking sugar and alcohol. Here's some fucking juice and some fucking alcohol on the top, and I'll put a bit of grenadine in so the colour looks cool. You know, you're like, fuck me. Here's some Coke and four different spirits. You have that. It's going to fuck you up and just make you taste Coke while you're drinking it. Well, here's a fucking pina colada. I put half a fucking jar of coconut cream in a fucking bottle for you and some rum. Like, you know. I drink them because it's, a fucking cocktail, in the pool, But, like, you know, they're not fucking that good. They're really rich and sweet, and quite often you're getting more juice than alcohol. And the times you don't get more juice than alcohol, you get really fucked up because they give you cheap alcohol. So, they were good. And we found a cigar speakeasy above the barbershop in Leggin, a fucking 200 metres from the hotel. There was a barber there. Me and Shady went and got some fresh cuts over there. I got the dreads still, and just got them shaved in, you know what I mean. And then above it, one night, me and went to the little speakeasy above there, the Wolf's Den, and smoked a cigar. And unfortunately, I didn't have any good spirits there. I drank a fucking mojito or some shit. But I fell in love with the cigar experience, right? So I went out the next day or the day after. Yeah, I think it was the next day. And bought a... Went out the next day and bought a cigar at one of the supermarkets. Had no idea what I was buying. Can't read. The shit's all in Indonesian. I tried Googling them. No one knows anything about Indonesian cigars or anything. So I bought one, whatever it was. Don Herazio or Heredura or whatever the fuck it was called. Hermano. And they're like, it's like, I can't remember where the tobacco is from. It's somewhere in South America. Tobacco and then rolled in Indonesia. And it was like, I don't know how long it's supposed to. I probably smoked it for an hour and I was only half, so probably like a 2 hour cigar, or an hour and a half long cigar or something. I smoked it for like an hour and put it out. But I sat out in front of the hotel room with this big sucker, smoked it, and drank my tequila on the rocks. Yeah, I had a bottle of tequila on the rocks, or a bottle of tequila in the freezer at the hotel. Best fucking believe you asked, I did. And that was really nice, man. And it was a mild cigar, and I'm a beginner. I didn't want something too strong, but like the rich, earthy, creamy sort of smoke from the cigar. Get that in your mouth, let it mill around there, and then let that come out, and then a hit of the tequila on the rocks, and this, the two bold flavors together, like the tequila would not cut through, but would shine through over the cigar, but your mouth was primed for a strong flavour like that because you had the cigar smoke in there just before. Oh, it was fucking... Oh. I think that's going to be my thing from now on, trying a bunch of different cigars with some different spirits I liked that. I could sit around and drink tequila or whiskey and a good cigar fucking for all evening and talk shit. And so I bought a few back, and I don't know if they're any good. I'm going to learn a bit about cigars over the next few months and see what I can get my hands on. But come winter, when the fire pit's going, you fucking best believe you come around my house in fucking July for a fire pit. We're smoking fucking cigars and drinking tequila around the fire, boy. So that happened. Got a bit of a new obsession there. I know nothing about one of the dudes from the gym. If you listen to this, Chris, he was giving me shit because he's been to Cuba and the Cubans told him about cigars and you fucking got to cut them a certain way and you only ever light them with matches and dip the end in honey and fucking this and that. Grilling me. I saw him at the gym this morning. He's grilling me about being a rookie. He goes, "Who taught you how to smoke cigars?" I said, "Fucking no one. No one, man. I'm brand new. I'm a rookie. Fucking if you got some information, give it to me. But don't fucking shit on me because I'm a rookie. Just learn about something cool." I never really cared about cigars. I guess they look kind of cool, but I never really thought I'd want to smoke them. And then I smoked one, and now I like them. So that happened. And yeah, man. But most nights we were probably back at the hotel by about 10, 10:30, in bed before midnight. Every night, as I said, I was getting up and exercising in the morning and shit. Much to Emma's disgust, I'll call it the lights out before 12, so 11-ish. So we're pretty good, pretty healthy most days, and then except the last bloody night, man. So I told you we had to get up at 3 a.m. to get picked up at 4 a.m., make sure we had all of our shit and get the fuck out of the hotel room up to the lobby before 4 a.m. So the night before we leave, we met this family a couple of days before we left, who were really cool family, on our level, sort of different, interesting kind of people. And bumped into them at the free drink. We had like club benefits, so there we had like free flow cocktails between 4 and 5 every afternoon up at the club room. Bumped into them up there, started drinking some cocktails, went down to the Azul Beach Bar, drank some more cocktails, had a feed, ended up on the beach, drinking piss, fucking shooting off barley, fucking spinners and shit like this. Till it was only till like 10:30 at night or something. But I drank Long Island iced teas and fucking stupid cocktails that I was just moaning about 5 minutes ago. Drunk all that shit and basically got blind the last night before we went out. And got to bed at like 11 o'clock and had to get up at 3 the next morning. Hangover. Ugh, fucking trying to... We were going to spend the night at home just tidying the room up and getting ready to leave. Had to put all that shit together at fucking 3 in the morning. And the head was banging and the mouth was dry and we're all discombobulated. But we fucking got it done. But, you know... Just sometimes you wonder why you make things hard for yourself. But we had fun, met some cool people, and you know, life's about experiences, not always about convenience or being efficient. So that happened. It was pretty cool, man. So yeah, interesting, mate. And good to get back to Bali after 4 years. It's changed a bit. Kuta's completely dead. They're rebuilding Kuta, but at the moment it's completely dead. Leggian's it's quite a bit more expensive. We spent quite a bit more than I anticipated based on previous trips. That stressed me out for the first 4 or 5 days. And then I just went, you know what, fuck the budget. We're over here. I'm not going to penny count while we're here. We're here, haven't been here for 4 years. Not going to be back here for a while. So let's just fucking do it and we'll deal with the money later. So we spent more than we thought, a fair bit more, and that is probably what you need to expect if you're going back over to Bali after the pandemic. But great time, great trip. I go back to work on Monday for 4 days, and then we go to Broome for Easter, and then we get back from Broome, and the kids go to friggin' Perth for the rest of the school holidays. So we've got an interesting little month ahead of us, 3 weeks from now ahead of us, after the 2 weeks we've just had, which is really good way to just fucking knock the Port Hedland summer, just chop it off at the knees at the start of mid-March, and by the time the kids get back and we get back into life as normal, it'll be a week or two of summer left, and then we're into fucking cruise mode in Hedland. So we definitely planned this period well. And we haven't had the opportunity to do that in the last 4 years. And that stressed me out each year. So I'm glad we're doing this, and it's it makes a big difference planning your holidays strategically throughout the year to break up certain periods so that you can get through, especially when you live in a fucking dingy old fucking town like Headland with this fuck all to do. So. Let that tequila turn to basically water at the end there. Look, man, it's about it for me. Good little recap of the holiday. I think that's probably all we need to say. The song "I Feel Good." So the episode's called "I Feel Good." I do feel bloody good. I had a good holiday. Like I said, I got 4 days of work, and then off to Broome, get the caravan out again, test out the new bits and pieces we've done to that since the Christmas trip. And then after that, we drop the kids. Emma drops the kids down in Perth, and then she comes back up. My parents have them for a couple of weeks, and my sister and brother-in-law and whatnot. Then my parents come up to visit. Well, they bring the kids back up, bring the kids up, and they have a visit, and it's a really good time, man. I'm feeling good. I've been beaten down by work over the last few years, and I feel like it began to change who I am, who I want to be, the direction I want to go in life. It's become conflicting, the two things, so it's good to have that break and really get back to just being myself and refocusing on the things that are important to me. So really, really good break, man. I hope that anyone else listening to this, I hope that you've had a good break that has made you feel the same, or if you're thinking about if it's worth blowing your budget or spending the money or booking a holiday or doing something like that, like if it's with your family and you're feeling run down and you need a break, like if you've worked for it, man, if you've put in the work, and I'm the last person to think that I've put enough work in. I never think I've done enough to deserve things, but we did deserve this, man, and it's for you, for your mental health and for your sanity, and to realign your goals and to have some downtime. Like, it's worth it. Just do it, man. If you're at home thinking, shall we go on a family holiday, you fucking oath you should, because otherwise, 10 years from now, you'll be 40. 10 years from that, you'll be 50. Your kids will be growing up, you'll be gone. Whatever money you think you're saving right now will have come and gone, and you would have missed out on the opportunity to make life experiences and experience fucking life. Because it ain't about how many beans you got in the bank. It's about the experiences you have, the people you meet, the things you do. And we all need to remember that, right? You can leave behind a big bank account for fucking someone else, and maybe you can do two. You can do that as well. But I think your main focus in life, for me, should be enjoying your life, having good experiences, meeting good people, teaching your kids the right way to live life. So it's a nice, nice little holiday for us to really refocus on things that are important for us moving forward. That's it, man. I Feel Good, episode 146, Average Man Podcast, over and out. Peace.